We see all around us the extent to which fear can make people do evil, unskillful things. But there are actually two kinds of fear that the Buddha recommended as being skillful, as playing a big role in the path. In both cases, the Buddha doesn't just leave you, though, with the fear. He gives you reasons for confidence. So the fear inspires you to avoid unskillful actions. But you are confident that you can escape those dangers through your skillful actions. The first is otapa, which we translate as compunction. It's not explained in very great detail in the canon. In English, the word compunction has two meanings depending on whether you're taking the British meaning or the American. The British meaning has to do with things you did in the past. You're thinking about bad things you did in the past. And there's a pang. In the American meaning, it can also deal with the thoughts you might have at the prospect of doing something evil, the prospect of doing something callous and careless, and their desire not to do that. I think the Buddha had the American meaning in mind because he talks about compunction as a guardian of the world. It protects you from doing things you know you shouldn't do, because you do care. It's the opposite of apathy, callousness. The attitude that doesn't really care about what the consequences of your actions are going to be, either for yourself or for other people. With compunction, otapa, you do care. You're wise enough to care, because you see the power of action. Now here, the source of confidence is that the Buddha can teach you skills in which you can avoid doing unskillful things. The whole path is a path of skillfulness. You get training in how to do that. It's not just telling you don't do these things. He teaches you the mental strengths you need. Conviction, persistence, mindfulness, concentration, discernment. So you're strong enough to resist the temptation to do something unskillful. And you can feel more and more secure in yourself. And the result of having confidence of this sort is that you behave in a moral way, behave in a harmless way. As the Buddha said, this is a guardian of the world. As long as you're going to be in the world, it protects you. But then there's another kind of fear that takes you beyond the world. That's sangvega. This word is sometimes translated as dismay, urgency, or in a general way as emotion, which is probably one of the worst translations. But it has to do with a sense of terror or awe. There's a passage in the canon where the Buddha talks about the lion coming out in the afternoon and roaring its lion's roar. And the animals of the forest all feel sangvega. They don't just feel emotion. They feel terror. They feel awe because the lion is so much more powerful than them. I think awe is the best English translation for the term because it conveys the old sense of the meaning of awe. You're face to face with nature and see how huge nature is. And that can be terrifying. You go to a huge waterfall like Niagara, and there's huge amounts of water. You see storms rising up that can cover the entire Great Plains. You see the power of nature, and you're so puny in comparison. Think of that passage in Majjhima 28, where Venerable Sariputta is talking about the four great properties. And with wind, there can be huge windstorms that blow away villages, towns, cities, countries, countrysides. And then the wind will just stop, and things will be so still that, as it says, even the grass ends and the thatched roof don't stir. Water can flood, wash away villages, towns, cities, countries, countrysides. And then the water in the oceans can dry up, so it's only left the depth of one palm tree. You can imagine how the Buddha saw that in his Buddha eye of surveying the world. Same with fire. Fire can burn cities and towns, then come to the edge of the water, come to the edge of a road, and just stop. It's so big, unpredictable, scary. We've had moments like that here at the monastery. It was 1993. There was a rainstorm. 3 days, we had 14 inches of rain, washed away parts of the hill. It seemed there was no end to the rain, but then it ended. 2003, a huge Santa Ana that came at a time when there was not supposed to be any Santa Ana. The winds got up to 100 miles per hour, blew down 300 trees. And then the next morning, everything was perfectly still. 2007, a fire came in, again with very strong winds. We had to evacuate. And then the wind suddenly changed direction and blew the fire away from us. The monastery survived. But I remember seeing the fire coming on the horizon. The first thought that went through my mind was, Mother Nature wants to kill us. So it is scary, the size of the elements here and how unpredictable they are and how puny we are in comparison. Well, the Buddha advocates this as an emotion to develop. There's that famous story with the 30 monks who come to see the Buddha. They're all forest monks. And the Buddha thinks to himself, what can I say that would induce them to gain awakening right in this very seat? And he talks about how the amount of blood they've lost over their past lives by having their heads cut off, just the amount that they had their heads cut off when they were sheep, is more than the great oceans. The amount of blood they had when they had their heads cut off as oxen, as goats, more than the water in the great oceans. When they had their heads cut off because they were trapped as adulterers or highwaymen, more than all the water in the oceans. All the monks with a huge sense of Sangwega became Arahants right there. That's the purpose of this recollection, is that we live in this world, and it's a dangerous world with huge powers. Powers beyond our comprehension, powers beyond our ability to control them. The Buddha's offering us a place to get out. That's the confidence that he inspires in us. That the place that gets out of this is actually larger than that. It's beyond space, beyond time. Think of that passage we chant with the Kanda Barita, talking about the limits to all the creepy crawly things that could cause you harm when you're in the forest. But then you contemplate Appamana Butoh, Appamana Dhammo, Appamana Sangho. Limitless is the Buddha, limitless is the Dhamma, limitless is the Sangha. There is a limit to the creepy crawly things. That's our out. This is our inspiration. Sometimes Sangwega is confused with dispassion. Dispassion is this, is the sense that you've been feeding off of your fabrications, willing to put in the effort because you have a passion for them. But now you see that it's just simply not worth it. You lose any enthusiasm for continuing with this process. You stop. And Sangwega is one of the ways of inducing dispassion. It's not quite the same thing. Sangwega is what induced the Buddha to go out into the forest to begin with. He saw that everything in the world was laid claim to. Nowhere he could look for happiness, that he wouldn't have to fight off somebody else. It was overwhelming. Then he realized that the big problem was inside, so he went off and removed the arrow in his heart and found something infinitely bigger. Consciousness without surface, unlimited. Not bound by any of the six senses. It's because we have this confidence that there's something beyond the awesome things of nature. That this sense of Sangwega has not always been seen as a bad thing or an unpleasant thing. It's the same with the history of the word awe in the Western civilization. You can see awful. That's why they had the term awful to begin with. Big, terrifying, horrible. But then there was a sense that there must be a benevolent purpose behind all this. And then the power of these things became a source of joy, because the benevolent purpose must be bigger than these things. And awe became, in the Romantic period, a positive emotion. This is why we have national parks. When they started setting aside land for national parks, it was always places that inspired awe, waterfalls, canyons, mountains. It wasn't until the 1930s that they started spreading the concept of national parks to include places like swamps, which don't inspire awe, but have a beauty of a different kind. It's the same in the Buddhist tradition. If there were no nibbana, the awe we feel about the fire element, the water element, the wind element, would be really unpleasant. But realizing that there is an escape, something even bigger, more amazing, makes the awe-inspiring things of the world not so scary after all. You look in the Abhidhammas, the section of the canon that was added at the very end before the Sutta Pitaka was closed. They talk about awe as a pleasant experience. Some way it's a pleasant thing to feel. You travel through the universe having made merit. You travel only to good places. And then finally you decide you had enough, and there's a sense of sangweki, you let go. It's a blissful, rapturous state for them. Because we have this confidence there's something beyond the awful powers of nature. Just think about that when you look at the world. There are a lot of powers that are much bigger than we are. And it's kind of scary what these powers can do. But nibbana is bigger. The Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha have no limit. As we imbue our minds with their qualities, we take our minds to a state that's limitless as well. So these are some ways in which even fear can be a useful thing to have on the path, to motivate us to practice, to get a sense that we really do need to get out of here as fast as we can. That doesn't mean we have to rush through the practice. Think of it as a prison break. You have to be very careful in each step along the way that you don't get caught. So you combine the sense of urgency with a sense of meticulousness. That's one of the definitions of mindfulness. You're very meticulous in what you do. But it's useful to reflect on these things every now and then to remind ourselves why we're doing this. We're surrounded by powers that are bigger than we are. We have power within ourselves to begin with, the power of our actions, which could be used in unskillful ways and cause us to suffer. To have a strong sense of compunction about what you do, have care about the consequences of your actions. But also have a sense that we're going for something bigger than the world, bigger than even the physical universe as a whole. So however large the work may seem, the rewards are going to be large as well.